Hello everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, here to talk you through all the action from J2 Match Day 17. But before we get to that, there's the small matter of last Wednesday's rearranged Match Day 15 relegation battle between Omiya Ardija and Iwate Gurudja Morioka to see to. Omiya headed into this one on a good run of form. Iwate had been on a dreadful run of losses before the coronavirus outbreak at the club. There wasn't much in the way of clear-cut scoring opportunities until the 72nd minute, when Iwate's Taisuke Nakamura hit the bar, Atsutaka Nakamura put the rebound onto the post, and Brenner's shot was deflected into the grateful arms of Omiya goalie Yuta Minami. Omiya went up the other end and won a corner, which they almost scored from, but the ball was cleared off the line by a diving defender's shoulder or upper arm. No penalty appeals, though. A few minutes later, Omiya's goalkeeping woes continued as Minami slipped when dealing with a back pass and injured his Achilles, so he'll be out for about 6 months. The only goal of the game came in the 91st minute for Iwate. Strong work on the right wing by Brenner drew defenders to him. He laid the ball off for Atsutaka Nakamura, and his low cross found Hayata Komatsu arriving on the penalty spot to take a vital 3 points and lift Iwate off the bottom of the table. Omiya were back in action on Saturday, and they made it consecutive losses as they were beaten 4-2 at home by league leaders Vegalta Sendai. Sendai went ahead in the 30th minute when Yuto Uchida took advantage of two hapless Omiya defenders running into each other as they went for a high ball, and he crossed for Takumi Nagura to score. 9 minutes later it was 2-0, slightly fortunately perhaps, as a corner was flicked on and seemed to bounce off Keimon Togashi's chest and into the top corner from quite a distance. Although in fairness to Togashi, he did turn his body to try and direct the ball that way. The home side were back in it soon after half-time, as the ball broke for Masato Kojima, and his long pass found Takamitsu Tomiyama in space on the right. A few step-overs later, and Tomiyama shot into the far corner. But Foginho restored Sendai's two-goal lead on the hour, with a rocket from the edge of the D into the top corner. And it was pretty much game over in the 82nd minute, when Felipe Cardozo headed in across from the left. Shunsuke Kikuchi pulled one back for Omiya in stoppage time, chesting the ball and volleying in from about 12 yards, but it finished 4-2, Sendai hitting 4 for the second game in a row, and Omiya dropping back into the relegation zone. The other team doubling up after midweek action, Iwate, came back down to earth and the bottom of the table with a bump as they suffered a 3-0 loss away to Mito Hollyhock, and they were the architects of their own downfall. Enjoying a spell of extended pressure in the first half, Iwate keeper Kenta Matsuyama inexplicably passed the ball directly to Ryo Nisato while about 30 yards out of his goal, leaving the middleman a fairly easy chance to lob him and make it 1-0. Then two goals in the second half from Kosuke Kinoshita sealed it for Mito. The first deflected off him after a turn and shot by Mizuki Ando. The second, a diving chest from 6 yards. He's got 8 goals now, and such is the congestion in mid-table, this win took Mito up to 12th. Let's go back up to the top of the table. Albirex Niigata and Yokohama FC started their game in third and second respectively, but a 3-0 win for Niigata saw them swap places. A blistering start for the home team meant the damage was done in the opening 6 minutes. Shunsuke Mito opened the scoring by knocking in a rebound from a Yota Komi shot after just 26 seconds. A neat passing in the area allowed Komi the space to double the lead 5 minutes later. Komi capped a fine performance with a second goal in the 50th minute. He robbed Katsuya Iwatake just inside the Yokohama box, stayed on his feet after being clipped by Sven Brodersen, and shot past the sliding Iwatake on the line. Saulo Mineiro and Koki Ogawa had chances for Yokohama in the last half an hour, but either missed the target or shot straight at the keeper. They may have swapped league positions, but these two teams are separated only by goal difference at the moment. Behind them in fourth place is Fagiano Okayama, who beat Oita Trinita 1-0 thanks to a late Thiago Alves goal. Both sides had chances in this one, and Oita probably had the better ones, but a combination of wasteful finishing and good goalkeeping from Daiki Hotta kept it scoreless, until Mitchell Duke crossed from the left, and Arata Watanabe on the far side headed the ball back into the middle for Thiago Alves, unencumbered by markers, to head in. Oita thought they'd equalised in stoppage time when Samuel bundled the ball in, but it was ruled out as his teammate was adjudged to have fouled Hotta. There was contact, but Hotta didn't have control of the ball, so I can see why Oita felt aggrieved. It ended 1-0 though, with Oita back in the big mid-table pack in 15th. Sixth-placed Montedio Yamagata extended their unbeaten run to 8 games, but they had to come from behind to draw 1-1 away to Tsuyagen Kanazawa. Kyohei Sugiura's well-taken goal gave the hosts an early lead. Riku Matsuda passed from the right into the centre, Shogo Rikiyasu hassled a defender into losing the ball and falling over, and Sugiura surged into the box, dummied a shot with his left foot before turning it onto his right and shooting past sliding defenders and the advancing Masaaki Goto. Shintaro Shimada, Rikiyasu and Sugiura all had chances in the first half, controlled by Kanazawa, but shot over, wide, and well saved by Goto. Yamagata gradually came into the game in the second half, and De La Torre almost scored twice in quick succession, once just wide and once off the bar. The equaliser, when it came, was a disappointingly familiar one for Kanazawa. The defenders failed to track their man, and Ibuki Fujita was free to head in across from the left. Kanazawa are down in 17th, but are also part of that big mid-table bunch. There was also a 1-1 draw between two more teams in the mid-table group, Roasso Kumamoto and Jeff United. Both goals came late in this one. Toshiki Takahashi's header put Kumamoto ahead in the 85th minute, then Daisuke Suzuki rose highest at a free kick to head in the equaliser in the 93rd minute and make amends for the fact that Takahashi got away from him to score a few minutes earlier. Kumamoto are in 9th with only one loss in their last 5 games, while Jeff are still in 18th. Jeff will be looking over their shoulders a little nervously after Tochigi SC won for the first time since matchday 7, a surprise 1-0 win in Tokushima. The hosts had plenty of shots on goal, but Shuhei Kawata was alert to everything, and then when they lost possession in their own half, Yuji Senema played the ball out to Hayato Kurosaki on the right, and his long cross was perfect for Kisho Yano to volley past Jose Suarez in the Tokushima goal. No real change to the standings with this one. Tokushima in 14th, Tochigi in 19th, but the latter will be pleased to have closed the gap to the bunch. It's just 2 points now. Viva and Nagasaki's 2-1 win away to Renofa Yamaguchi saw them jump from 15th to 7th. The visitors started with Caio Cesar and Cristiano on the bench, long overdue squad rotation I guess, and it turned out the others can do just fine without them. Yusei Egawa opened the scoring with a header from a corner after 4 minutes, then Asahi Uenaka got Nagasaki second in first half stoppage time after good wing play by Takashi Sawada. Yamaguchi pulled one back on the hour, across from the right evaded everyone, a shot from the left was saved but fell for Takaya Numata to score from close range. Yamaguchi are now winless in 3 and sit in 16th. Machida Zelvia won for the second game in a row, and in doing so moved up to 5th. Kaishu Sano opened the scoring in this game against Despa Kasatsugunma midway through the first half, with a header from across by Leo Takaya after a corner. Substitute Dudu finished things off at 5 minutes from time, as his terrible first touch actually worked in his favour, giving him space to turn and shoot from 8 yards. So it finished 2-0 to Machida, a result that drops Gunma 2 places to 13th. FC Ryukyu were left rueing a late goal and a first-half injury to top scorer Yuki Kusano in their draw against Vanfore Kofu. Shinya Uehara gave the Okinawans the lead in the 71st minute with a good header, but Nagi Matsumoto snatched a point for Kofu in stoppage time, also with a good header. Kusano's injury looked painful. He and teammate Ren Ikeda ran into each other, and Ikeda knocked Kusano's knee as he fell. Ryukyu will be desperately hoping it's not serious. Kusano has scored 7 of their 20 goals this season. This draw moved Ryukyu out of the relegation zone, and Kofu are in 8th on a run of 3 draws. And finally, for the second time this month, Tokyo Verdy scored 3 goals but managed not to win. This time, they let a 3-0 lead slip, and a breathtaking Blaublitz Akita comeback with 3 goals in the final 25 minutes earned them a share of the points and extended their unbeaten run to 4. Ryuji Sugimoto gave Verdy a dream start, curling a shot past Yudai Tanaka in the 3rd minute. He got his and Verdi's second in the 55th minute as he finished a long counter-attack with another good shot past Tanaka. When Junki Koike got his first goal of the season 3 minutes later, getting on the end of a long cross, it looked like Akita were dead and buried. But Naoki Inoue headed in a cross from the right in the 65th minute to give Akita a glimmer of hope. And then in the 73rd minute he got another, also from a cross from the right. But this time he appeared to backheel it from near the penalty spot and it trickled in off the post. Then, with 89 minutes and 58 seconds on the clock, the comeback was completed by Yuji Wakasa's low, long-range shot that somehow found its way through a crowd and nestled in the bottom right corner. All three of Akita's goals came from moves that started with corners, definitely playing to their strengths and Verdi's weaknesses. So that's it for match day 17. I'll be back in a moment to look at the match day 18 fixtures. Welcome back. We're in a busy stretch of league and cup matches, and J2 match day 18 takes place this Wednesday, the 25th of May. Iwate and Yokohama FC get things started at 6 o'clock, before there are 9 games at 7 o'clock. First place Sendai play 4th placed Okayama, Yamagata welcome Yamaguchi, Mito take on Niigata, Tochigi face Machida, Gunma play Kumamoto, Nagasaki play Jeff United. Viewers on the J-League's international YouTube channel can watch Tokyo Verdy against Kanazawa, and there's a very important match between 21st placed Omiya and 20th placed Ryukyu. Then Kofu and Tokushima round things off at 7:30. That's all from me. Thanks as ever for listening, downloading, retweeting, liking and sharing. And thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. Enjoy the midweek football and keep listening now for all the Emperor's Cup and J3 latest from Mike Innes in J-Talk Short Corner. J-Talk
Extra Time. Hello everyone and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode I'll be looking back on last week's rearranged league fixtures and on J3 clubs' participation in the Emperor's Cup first round, as well as previewing all the J3 games coming up in the next few days. First, an item of J3 news since the last pod: SC Sagamihara became the second J3 club in 2 weeks to part company with their coach when the Kanagawa club fired Takuya Takagi. Having been relegated back down from J2 at the end of last season and over the winter putting together a squad that looked capable of challenging for promotion, Sagamihara now sit 15th in the division with only 7 points and 5 goals in the first 8 matches. Takagi's replacement has been announced as Norihiro Satsukawa, hitherto the Sagamihara under-18 coach. Satsukawa was also in charge at the club for a spell during 2016 and has earlier J3 experience as coach at FC Ryukyu. Now on to the action, and last midweek a pair of J3 matches took place, postponed from earlier in the season due to COVID outbreaks. On Wednesday the 18th, FC Gifu continued their improvement under new coach Yuji Yokoyama with a comfortable home win over Gainare Tottori. In picking his starting lineup for this game, Yokoyama changed all 10 outfield players from the previous match, reintroducing, among others, Ryohei Yoshihama and Charles Unduka. They combined to give Gifu the lead 9 minutes before the break, Yoshihama sending a long ball into the area where Unduka easily overcame the challenge of Kosuke Masutani and fired low into the corner. Worth noting that Masutani was stretchered off moments later, a bad sign for a player with an injury record such as his. Tottori had a chance to equalise in the 54th minute, but rookie Hideyatsu Ozawa skied his shot when through on goal, and 5 minutes later, Gifu extended their lead, Unduka passing across a crowded penalty box to Kosuke Fujioka, who skipped away from Sota Maruyama and sent in a shot that somehow squirmed under Ken Tajiri and over the line. Gifu missed a couple more good chances before wrapping up the scoring with 9 minutes left, Ryo Kubota receiving the ball 15 yards out and cleverly turning to shoot beyond the reach of Tajiri. Final score, Gifu 3, Tottori 0, a triumph for Yokoyama picking up a comprehensive win with a makeshift team, while Kim Jong-song at Gainare has trouble everywhere he looks. 4 straight losses now, can't score, can't defend. Then on Thursday the 19th, a crowd of only 581 gathered for the Kanagawa derby between two teams in the bottom 4 of the division, SC Sagamihara and YSCC Yokohama. And the match offered a clear demonstration of why they've been struggling, Sagamihara creating almost nothing going forward and often on the back foot against a YSCC who've scored 3 goals all season. The visitors did show attacking intent down the flanks, though. Wide men Riku Furuyado and Hiroto Miyauchi both going close in the opening minutes. Indeed, Furuyado missed a great chance when he put the rebound over the bar after Kentaro Kakoi had parried a shot from Tomoya Hayashi. Midway through the second half, Diego Taba thought he'd done enough to put YSCC ahead, only for a last-gasp lunge from Daisuke Watabe to deflect his shot over the bar. Final score, Sagamihara 0, YSCC 0. A lamentable showing by the home side in what turned out to be Takuya Takagi's last game in charge. YSCC were able to get men forward but could not find the net. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after these rearranged fixtures, noting that the games in hand situation has become simpler as a result. Ehime, Hachinohe, Sagamihara and Tottori now have 1 game in hand. The top 4 teams are still Kagoshima with 20 points, then Fukushima, Iwaki and Matsumoto all with 18. At the other end of the table, the bottom 4 are Sagamihara, who, as mentioned, stay 15th with 7 points. Then it's Hachinohe with 6, Tottori with 4, and bottom with 2, YSCC. Over the weekend of the 21st and 22nd, though, no league games. It was the Emperor's Cup first round. On Saturday the 21st, the best result of the day for any J3 representative came from the division's second place team, Fukushima United, who brushed aside North Asia University. Toshihiro Hattori fielded a full-strength Fukushima side and top scorer Junya Takahashi duly finished Ryota Kitamura's cross to open the scoring inside the first minute. Their opponents from Akita levelled things up soon afterwards through Shoichi Uchigaki's low shot, but after that it was one-way traffic. Fukushima were 5-1 up at half-time as Shoki Nagano rounded the keeper to score in an unguarded net and make it 2-1. Takahashi got the third from a penalty after a foul on Hiroto Moraoka. Nagano converted a low cross by Yuta Nobe for 4, and Takahashi completed his hat-trick with the team's 5th, stabbing home a cross from Nagano. On the pitch, things quietened down after the break, although the heavy rain did little to dampen the spirits of the visitors' lone drum-wielding supporter. And neither did the scoreline, to which Takahashi again added from another Kitamura cross, substitute Kota Mori wrapping things up 4 minutes from time after a goal-mouth scramble. Final score, Fukushima 7, North Asia University 1. 10 goals for the season in all competitions for Takahashi. The further good news being that teenager Nagano is right there waiting in the wings. Meanwhile, fellow high flyers Matsumoto Yamaga fielded a second string against Hokuriku University with first starts this season for young midfielder Manato Yamada and forgotten man Paolo Junichi Tanaka, now sporting a startling blonde hairdo. And in the 17th minute, Yamada took advantage of a misdirected defensive header, nodding it back across the box for Itsuki Enomoto to volley in. 14 minutes later, Tanaka made it 2-0 when he picked up a through ball, cut inside the defender and sent a left foot shot in off the post. The students pulled one back on 37 minutes, getting behind the left-hand side of the Yamaga defence and taking advantage of a slip-up by Taku Inafuku, with Sora Endo then beating Tomohiko Murayama from 8 yards. And in the 59th minute, the same flank of the Matsumoto back line was exposed again. A low cross reaching Akitoshi Hirano, who side-footed comfortably home to level the game up. Within seconds, however, Yamaga had regained the lead, Tanaka 10 yards out, holding off a challenge and turning to fire in a shot that gave Shunsuke Sugiura no chance. Final score, Matsumoto 3, Hokuriku University 2. A full reserve side doing the job for Hiroshi Nanami, the perennially injured Lukao also making an appearance as a substitute in the closing minutes. Elsewhere on Saturday, Yuji Yokoyama continued his thus far successful experiment with squad rotation at Gifu, making 11 changes to the team that beat Tottori in midweek and still getting the better of Chukyo University. They had to come from behind twice to do so, though, Shuto Udo giving the students the lead in the 15th minute with a low shot after the Gifu defence had failed to clear their lines, the immaculately coiffured Daisuke Ishizu tying things up before the break with a free kick. Anata Kozakai put Chukyo back in front midway through the second half. A great run and shot, but a fumble from keeper Chol-Hwan Ono. But two goals in the last 15 minutes sealed it for Gifu. Ishizu equalising for the second time with a close-range header before Kosuke Fujioka grabbed the winner across from the left that drifted in untouched at the far post. Final score, Gifu 3, Chukyo University 2. 6 goals in 4 games for ex-Tegevajano Miyazaki man Fujioka. For Yokoyama, things couldn't be going much better. There was one Saturday upset, though, and that came at the Ninjaneer Stadium Ehime, where FC Imabari suffered a heavy loss at the hands of Okinawa SV from the Kyushu League. Coach Kazuaki Hashikawa made 2 changes to the side that lost narrowly to Kagoshima last weekend, giving young keeper Lee Do-hyung a first start of the season, while Misaki Haruyama began up front in place of Marcus Indio. Imabari went ahead during first half stoppage time, a smart volley by Kazaki Nakagawa after a good team move, but around the hour mark, the J3 side collapsed to concede 4 times in 13 minutes. Yuta Yamada's header from a Kazuki Akimoto free kick levelled things up. Then on loan Miyazaki forward Yukihide Gibo made it 2-1 with a low finish. Experienced J-leaguer Kazuki Anzai hammered in a 30-yard free kick for 3, and Yamada got his second and Okinawa's 4th with a header under the crossbar after the nervous-looking Lee had fumbled another free kick. Final score, Imabari 1, Okinawa SV 4. A particular shock for an Imabari side that's conceded only 7 in 9 league games, but it may be a while before Lee Do-hyung gets another call-up. On Sunday the 22nd, there was a pair of all J3 ties. Leaders Kagoshima United's encounter with Giravans Kita Kyushu going to form, despite Naoto Otake making 7 changes to the Kagoshima side that started at Imabari last week. The Smoking Volcanoes were 2 up at half-time, Shuto Nakahana firing in from the edge of the area after Frank Romero's clever setup, and promising reserve striker Shunsuke Yamamoto lashing in a shot after Giravans had run into trouble playing the ball out from the back. Just after the hour, Kita Kyushu were again architects of their own downfall, this time Rei Yonezawa shooting home from 15 yards to make it 3. Yuki Nakayama pulled one back with 13 minutes to go, finishing well after a corner was headed back across goal, but it ended Kagoshima 3, Kita Kyushu 1. And if a characteristic of a good squad is that individual players can be used interchangeably without impacting on performance and results, Kagoshima 2022 look a good squad. Kita Kyushu continue to struggle, but at least scored their first goal since early April. Meanwhile, in Takaoka City, Katane Toyama completed their second win of the season over Fujieda Mai FC Tsubasa Yoshihiro was on target when Katane triumphed 2-0 at Fujieda last month, and in the 17th minute he repeated the trick, a header from a cross by Arthur Silva after the Brazilian had caught Kaito Kamiya in possession. Fujieda's Jun Suzuki hit the bar with a free kick a couple of minutes later, but there was no further score and the game ended Toyama 1, Fujieda 0. Another small step along the road to righting the wrongs of Katane's poor start to the season. A disappointment for my FC that they again failed to find the net against one of J3's more porous defences. Talking of porous defences, the leakiest in the division belongs to Gainare Tottori, who in their Emperor's Cup tie crashed at home to Veraspar Oita. Tottori coach Kim Jong-song picked a more or less full-strength side, but by half-time, Gainare were already two down. First through experienced Rui Tone, who charged in unimpeded to convert a deep cross at the far post, and then Veraspar's former Gifu striker Kento Yabauchi, who fired in an angled shot after the visitors had cut open the left-hand side of the Tottori back line. Yuya Taguchi, who it's fair to say is not having the 2022 many expected, missed a great chance to get Gainare back in the match on 52 minutes, and midway through the second period, Yabauchi made it 3 to Veraspar with a neat shot to finish an outstanding team move. Credit to Naoki Tsuchida for a superb assist here. Takumi Fujimoto rounded off the scoring after he picked up the ball on the halfway line, strolled into the penalty box and beat Ken Tajiri from 12 yards. Final score, Tottori 0, Veraspar Oita 4. No goals scored, 11 conceded over the last three matches by Kim's team. Made worse by the fact that Veraspar these days are not the title-winning edition of 2020, but a mid-table JFL side. And finally, another struggling side, Vanrare Hachinohe, were also beaten at home by Niigata University of Health and Welfare SC. Against a full-strength Hachinohe, the students took the lead on 17 minutes when a loose ball came to Dylan Nobiraki just inside the box, and he showed composure and power to shoot past Hayate Tsuta. Vanrare had their chances to equalise, especially in the second half, hitting the bar with a looping shot by Aoi Sato, who again looked lively when he came on as a substitute. But the final score was Hachinohe 0, Niigata University of Health and Welfare SC 1. Familiar problems for Vanrare, who did everything but score. So, when it comes to the Emperor's Cup second round, 5 J3 teams have made it through. All the relevant ties take place on Wednesday, the 1st of June, the J3 related games being Kagoshima at Viva Nagasaki, Fukushima at Urawa Reds, Matsumoto at Jubilo Iwata, Gifu at Gamba Osaka, and Toyama at Vissel Kobe. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the J3 related games over the next few days. You may already know the result of this one, but on Wednesday the 25th, there's the rearranged fixture between Tottori and Ehime. Then over the weekend of the 28th and 29th, we reach round 10 of the J3 season. Just the one game on Saturday the 28th, that's an important match in the lower reaches of the table as Kita Kyushu host YSCC. Then on Sunday the 29th, leaders Kagoshima go to Sanuki. The chasing trio are all at home. Fukushima against Miyazaki, Iwaki against Tottori, and Matsumoto against Imabari. Nagano have a big match at home to improving Gifu. There's a Shizuoka derby between Fujieda and Numazu. Under new management, Sagamihara host Toyama. And two teams desperate for goals, come face to face. It's Ehime against Hachinohe. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini pod. All that remains is for me to say thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.